Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio ISD is one of the oldest school districts in Texas, established in 1899. It serves a diverse population of students from various social economic backgrounds. The district has a rich history of education, innovation, and community engagement. But this past year, SAISD had to make some tough choices to address falling enrollment, lack of state funding, and aging campuses. And to give us an update on these next steps for SAISD, we're joined by the Superintendent, Jaime Aquino. And Superintendent Aquino, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. It's great to be back on your show.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you have a question or a comment for Superintendent Aquino, we'd love to hear from you. So let me ask you about where are we with the right sizing process for SAISD. Falling enrollment have forced the board to make some tough choices.
You know, although the right sizing process, as you mentioned, David, was emotionally difficult for our community really deserved to be part of the process. So we did an enormous amount of public engagement. We held about 40 meetings for the school that were impact, and we had about 68% of attendance from parents, community members, and a 42% attendance from our staff. The community feedback helped us change the framework. It also changed our final recommendation. We made 11 revisions, and then the board, as you indicated, voted to close 15 schools. Where we are right now, those schools have merged. I'm very proud of the work that our school leaders did, and something we call blending the familia, which was a way of introduce impacted students and staff to their new campus. That has gone really well. We had about 595 campus staff that were impacted, and I'm proud to say that 100% of those staff were placed in new roles, and actually in their new schools, and in similar role, meaning if they were a first grade teacher, they ended up teaching first grade. We had 5,229 students who were impacted. I'm happy to say 82% of them return in this school year. So we had 18%. Not all of them left because of right sizing. There were some of them were moving. We did lose some, but the expectation was that we were going to have a massive exodus of students going, and we didn't see that. I'm in schools every day, and I hear positive stories from our students and teachers and principals of the impact that have. I'm going to give you two quotes. One teacher said to me recently at a faculty meeting, "I want to thank you. I was impacted by the right sizing, and I'm really happy because for the last 10 years, I was split in three campuses. Now I'm in one campus. So now I have a family." Then it's special ed teacher in that same school set, and I feel the same way. I was the only special ed teacher in my small school. I didn't have anybody to collaborate when I have challenges. Now I have a special ed department. I hear students say to me, "Oh my God, now we have a cafeteria. We have a gym. We didn't have that." So we're really proud. The next step that we are engaged is on repurposing our empty building. And so far in August and September, we have already had 9 meetings. We have a survey asking the community for their input. I actually, right before coming here, just got an email from a parent who said, "Thank you for asking for community input on what we want to see happening with our empty building." So really, really proud. I think we have a model. This is, as you said, something that's going across the nation, and we have been able to transition into a new reimagined SAISD that bring two campuses together in a new direction.
So this is all happening right now. The schools were old schools. The ones were designated to be shuttered. They went, you know, they had their last days in May. Mm-hmm. And now new school year, seeing students going to a new campus maybe they're not familiar with. And so what happened to welcome these students and make them feel at home?
So actually that happened during the spring too, and continue at the beginning of the school year. So The receiving school, the new school, hosted field days for the students from the close campus. The staff also had team building activities. They hosted a family bench that brought the families from both campuses. So there was a lot of work done in the spring to make it easier. To the point on transportation, because now they were going to have new bus routes. We actually, in the spring, I actually rode on one of those buses so the parents and the student can get comfortable with their new routes. So we did a lot of that. We have a transition team that is still in place working at the campus to receive and make them welcome. They feel welcome. Every school identify what we call a campus transition ambassador to make sure that they had all these activity. We allocated fundings for this to happen during the spring and now as well. And all the evidence, anecdotally, right now, is that both our students, our families, and our staff overall are pretty happy with the way the transition went.
And so now the attention falls to what happens to the old facilities. You're asking for community input. Is there some idea of what are the possibilities?
So I'll tell you some of the ideas that surfaced during the right-sizing community meetings. Here's what I heard from the community. They would like some of the schools to be repurposed for like social emotional center where the families can go for mental health support, the students. We have universities who are interested in expanding their footprint and having learning classrooms. We're talking about offering adult education centers where some people suggested fine arts, offering health hubs, so a huge range of ideas. So we're in the process of releasing a request for proposal, which will ask organizations what do they want to use our purpose. Our buildings. There's two things that we are looking for, and anybody who wants to lease for a nominal fee, our building is that is something that is going to impact our students or our community.
And so I remember one of the rationales given, because these were old, aging infrastructures, they needed some repair, maybe, and it was straining SAISD to keep up with all that. So are these schools able to make that transition? Will they take investment? Who will do that investment?
So first clarification, David, that was not one of the criteria they used to determine if a school was going to close. More if the receiving was in better shape. The major criteria that we used was the enrollment. So we had schools with 120, 150 students who were in decent buildings. But that for a small population, we don't have the resources to provide the high quality educational program that we were looking for. But it is true, having such a huge footprint of so many buildings puts an operational challenge on us to make sure that we maintain them and they're well equipped to be conducive learning environments.
So you're dealing with a lot of real estate issues these days. And when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about a real estate deal that's in the news right now about a possible baseball stadium in downtown San Antonio. We'll be asking about that and getting the latest news on that. And our phone lines are open. If you've got a question for SAISD Superintendent Aquino, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin, Davies with you in the studio. San Antonio Independent School District Superintendent Jaime Aquino, he's here to answer your questions and to give us updates on some of the issues facing SAISD. Just finished talking about right-sizing. And now what's in the newspaper right now is people very anxious, interested about what's happening with SAISD property downtown and the idea that there could be a baseball stadium for the San Antonio Missions. And the SAIC apparently has property that the mission people are very interested in. So, and you're asking them, you're a tough negotiator. superintendent. What are you asking them to do?
So before that, I want to encourage all your listeners to know that yesterday the board posted an agenda item for the public meeting on November 18, where they will make a decision on my recommendation in terms of the negotiating terms.
And that's a public hearing as well.
It's a public, so there's a public portion where people can come and sign up and have 3 minutes to talk to us and give us their feedback. We encourage your listener to attend or send us questions to either their trustees or to the district, because we really value community input. I want to make sure that people understand what are the values that the board and the district are using as we considering making the decision of whether to sell this land for the baseball stadium. The first one is that our mission as an education organization is to advance teaching and learning and to support our families. The second, we are committed and we want to be a partner with the city and council and county around economic and opportunity development for our region, but it must be a benefit to our organization, to our families, to our students. Another value that we are taking into account is that we believe affordable housing for families with school-age children is the lifeblood of the school district. You talk about declining enrollment. So it also revitalizes our communities in the city and in the county. The last thing value is that we want transparency and public deliberation. That's why we posted this agenda item yesterday. My board had a community meeting. We are seeking input. And if they go to their website, they could actually see the five main elements of our negotiating terms that we will be presenting to the developers and the county and the city.
And so those five items, a $45 million building for Advanced Learning Academy, a parking garage, at least 250 spaces on Flores Street that would be used for SAISD, a $400,000 annually to compensate for the loss of interest that SAISD would have if it had to advertise the property for sale, at least 1,250 units of affordable housing in SAISD's attendance zones, and a seat on the Houston Street TIRZ board for the district's superintendent. So these are items that, you know, they seem like, wow, that's a lot. I mean, that was my first feeling. But you have land that they want. And that this is not land that you were just like not doing. You had plans for this land?
Yeah. So this land was not a surplus property. Actually, currently, as we're sitting here, it is used for parking for our students and staff for the Fox campus, our high school. We don't have that. So there was no intention of us for selling it. In the past, we have actually had conversation of potentially using that land to build an ALA Euclid. So this was not surplus property. We do feel that, though it seems like a lot, this is a reasonable term for us that align with our values, making sure that we have affordable housing, making sure that there is an investment in our school district, making sure that we can increase our enrollment by having the affordable housing. We need the parking for our staff and our students. And, you know, the $400,000 per year in terms of interest is exactly what we anticipate what we will get if we were to sell that property right now in a CO bid.
Right. So is this negotiable, or is like, this is our offer, you need to meet this or come up with something comparable?
So let me make it clear. This is the staff recommendation. The board will vote on Monday to authorize me as to whether these are the acceptable negotiating terms that we will present.
And have you heard anything from the missions folks?
No.
As we have heard some people tell us that the land value around the proposed baseball park would increase quite a bit. There would be a lot of economic development, and therefore the tax base would go up, and SAISD would benefit from that. And they were trying to make that as like an enticement for you to provide this property, you know, at a reasonable level, I guess.
Great question. And during the community meeting that we hosted, the board hosted, we had financial experts from Mulcahy to actually share with the public what's the potential benefit for the district. The school finance system in the state of Texas is very complex. Mulcahy was clear that based on the information that we have, we will get $2 million per year in the INS, which is the interest and sinking funds that support the bond. That money cannot be used for operations or for educational advancement, but just to support our bond program. But it's only $2.1 million per year, which is not as significant because it does not help us with the daily operation of our school district.
So it seems like that was oversold. They were telling the public, they were telling you guys that this is going to be great for you. And then there may be some benefit, but not as much as they had said.
I don't know if it was oversold, but it showed a lack of understanding of how complex the school finance system is in the state of Texas. So they assumed that was we were going to get. But if you know the school finance system and put all the numbers, that is not accurate.
The idea of asking for at least 1,250 units of affordable housing in SAISD's attendance zones, why is that an item to ask for?
Again, I said one of the value that we have is that affordable housing is the lifeblood of our district. We have declining enrollment, so we want not only affordable housing, but family friendly. So we had a demographer that told us that we can expect declining enrollment of about 15% in the next 10 years due to declining birth rate and the lack of affordable housing. So we are an educational institution. Our revenue comes from having increasing enrollment. So we want to make sure that there's affordable housing that are family friendly. In addition to that, the board and the district really values our families, and we don't feel our families should be displaced outside the urban core because they cannot afford to live here. So it is a value that is ingrained in our declaration statement, where we say we're an inclusive familia.
We got a voicemail from one of our listeners for this conversation. Let's give it a listen.
My name is Jorge. I live in Santa Clara, and we always hear politicians talk about per pupil spending. And now we're allegedly spending more per pupil than at any time in prior history of Texas public education. And I would want to know, before you talk about per pupil spending, break that down, subdivide it into like how much goes to pay for school buses and gasoline, teachers' retirement benefits, heating and air conditioning, and the extreme weather that we have here in Texas, and how much of that per pupil spending actually gets to the classroom to benefit the students and or the teachers. And I know teachers don't get paid that much, but I've always been told that they have a 5-star platinum plated retirement, and I don't know if that is true or not. Thank you so much.
So Superintendent Aquino, the what it is, the caller is talking about the complex way that we fund our schools, and when we hear from these politicians in Austin saying we're giving you all more money than ever before, but is that really enough to do the job?
So first to your caller, I want to say that 80% of our budget, like most school districts in Texas or across the nation, go to personnel. The majority of that is for principals, teachers, counselors, social workers. So the majority of our budget is going to our schools and to improving student outcomes. In terms of the funding, in the state of Texas, we have what is called the basic allotment, which right now is $6,160 per student that we receive. This is the same amount of funding that we received since 2019. It was the last time that the basic allotment was increased. So in 2019, we were getting $6,160 per student. 5 years later, we're still getting 6,160.
We have all this inflation.
We have a national inflation rate of 22%. Actually, during this same period, our district has given an increase in, on average, to our staff teacher salary by 14.5%, which I will tell you is not good enough. That's what we could afford. Actually, we couldn't afford it because we were going into a deficit. My understanding is that in the state of Texas, over 70% of the school district had to adopt a deficit budget for many reasons. Inflation, the stagnant state funding, and the end of the COVID-19 federal funding relief, which in our district was $300 million for the last 3 years. But I will say this, it's not only about the money. Our board is focused on using our financial resources responsibly to enhance student achievement and well-being. We're actively working to maximize limited state funding by strategically allocating resources to programs and initiatives that impact the lives of our students. With a focus on maximizing every single dollar, we are evaluating expenditures across the district, prioritizing evidence-based practices, as well as assessing program effectiveness. We are in the middle of conducting a return on investment analysis on key initiatives to measure the impact on student achievement and overall district performance. We are also, the board and I, are exploring partnership with community organizations and nonprofit and local business to expand the support services and program without increasing the district cost. So this is something that both the board and my administration is committed to, making sure we are using every taxpayer dollar responsibly in a way that impact and transform the lives of our students.
But we're going into this legislative session, begins in January, with a $20 billion surplus. There's money there for them to increase the per student allotment. And you've already laid out why should happen. Have you heard anything? Is there any kind of vibe out there if the legislature has the appetite to actually increase real funding for public education in Texas?
I sure hope so. If you talk to teachers across the state and particularly in the district, they're feeling the impact of limited resources on a daily basis.
I mean, how long can you do deficit spending? I'm not long.
You can't. You can't. If we continue that, just in, not only that, what I'm hoping is, in addition to getting an increase in the basic allotment, I would encourage our elected officials to also increase a cost of living or CPI adjustment, so that the increase every year is tied to the inflation rate. So I'm hoping. Also, I think if you listen to our students, the students need more resources around mental health, school safety. Our students say our teachers are undervalued and underpaid. They want greater salaries. So I am optimistic that our elected official would do the right thing for our students, because the school district and public education holds the future of our state and our economy.
Superintendent Jaime Aquino, SAISD, thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us about these important issues and giving us an update. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
We're taking a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the dark side of solar power in Texas, on rooftop solar powers, how it's hurting some homeowners. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.